This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for staying with us. So something's become official.
That's right. Yesterday, Axiata Group, Telenor Asia and Digi.com signed transactions agreements for the proposed merger of Celcom Axiata and Digi. So we've been talking about this plan for some time. I mean, we spoke about it back in April when the potential deal was announced and when they announced the name of this merger, which is going to be MergeCo.
I'm not sure what they're going to keep that
so
name.
So original.
Yeah. I really hope they don't.
Do you remember when Sime Darby went and merged like 9 listed courses and then they were like, what was that? Synergy Drive?
Yeah,
that's slightly
Synergy
better,
Drive.
Right?
Which, by the way, they then dissolved and then kind of created 3 new companies.
Yeah.
But anyway, Axiata and Telenor will both hold equal stakes of 33.1% each in the entity. Upon successful completion of the transaction, this merged co will have an estimated 19 million customers and a combined pre-synergy equity value of close to 50 billion ringgit. However, the deal's not done and dusted yet. It is still subject to regulatory approvals and is only expected to be completed by the second quarter of 2022.
So to better understand how the parties benefit from this deal, we've got on the line with us now Janice Chong, a senior director at Fitch Ratings. Janice, now this merger is going to form an entity, as discussed, with over 19 million customers and total revenue of 12.5 billion ringgit. What are the synergies for both companies?
Well, we see synergies in both capital and operational expenditure. The merger will enable them to reduce network duplication and extract procurement synergies. Bear in mind, Celcom and Digi spend about 12 to 15% of their yearly revenue on capital investments on a yearly basis, just to maintain a very stagnant revenue. Now, from an operational perspective, the merger will result in a leaner cost structure by just integrating their retail distribution outlets, sales and marketing and IT spending as well.
Janice, I'm curious, do you have a viewpoint as to who could stand to gain more, whether it's Axiata or Telenor?
I think it's positive for both. If you look at Malaysia's telecoms market, it's a hyper-competitive market, multiple players. And if you look at the current big three now, there really isn't, much difference in terms of, the market share. They have all equal footprint in the country. So I think, in terms of Celcom and Digi, clearly, we have a 5G hyper investment ahead. And although there is a national infrastructure framework in the country, they still need to step up in terms of 4G network rollout, in terms of service innovation and fiber rollout as well. So it's a combined, benefits in terms of financial capabilities of merger synergies, mm-hmm. And as well as customer base.
So there are clearly some cost advantages here in terms of synergy. But do you think there could be a potential culture clash given the difference in branding and so also styles of working between Celcom and Digi?
I think in terms of branding, I believe they will still retain two independent brands, Celcom and Digi. They have very different appeal to different market segments. But I think in terms of integration of two separate cultures, as you put out, it poses a very challenging aspect for most mergers, including this one.
So Janice, from that standpoint, do you see any issues or regulatory concerns that might torpedo this deal?
Question on anti-competitive practices will really depend on how we define market share, how the regulator defines market share, right? So the MergeCo will become the largest domestic wireless operator in the country with a mobile revenue share of over 50%. And this is just looking at a mobile customer base. But if you look at the total domestic telecom services, which includes fixed line and mobile, it's about 34% share, and that surpasses Telecom Malaysia.
Can I just ask whether you think these developments, does this allude to or have implications for the regional plans that Axiata or Telenor might have?
I think it's just the beginning of M&As taking place in the region. Note that Axiata and Telenor had in 2019 announced a far more ambitious plans to combine their regional mobile operations. So we're seeing M&A taking place, not just with Axiata or Telenor, but we expect high competition and the significance of scale to raise M&A prospects in the region and also globally.
Now, the next big thing in the telco space is, of course, 5G. Now, we know in Malaysia we're using a different format, and the telcos won't be asset owners. The government will be, or the SPV will be. So does this merger actually help them when it comes to, because there still are considerable rollout costs, though?
That's right. I think, yes, I mean, scale matters. Larger operators are better positioned to capture cost advantages. They have sufficient spectrum, and they are able or in a position to accelerate network rollout. Now, firstly, a strong 4G network is still critical to support a progressive 5G network rollout in the country. Secondly, telcos will still need to fund the rollout of base stations despite the ownership of DNB, on the 5G spectrum, as well as, you know, the mobile competition in a 5G national plan will shift from infrastructure ownership to service innovation, which requires deeper collaboration with industry verticals to develop ecosystem. So again, scale is an important element for 5G.
So does this mean that this merged entity will have better bargaining power when it comes to spectrum? Because that is the value of a telco, right? And what we do know is recently the ministry awarded spectrum to MVNO LTEL, which surprised industry insiders. So does this mean it's going to be better for this merged co then?
Yes, I mean, that's very right. Because spectrum is a vital resource for any mobile operator. So post-merger, the merged co will have access to over 200 megahertz of frequency airwaves. That doubles, the next largest mobile operator, which is Maxis. So these spectrum bands, which have been allocated to existing telcos, will not be used for 5G, but for the expansion of 4G network, especially with 3G shutdown by the end of this year. Now, 4G is still very relevant in Malaysia, given that 5G rollout will be progressive. Note that DNB will only have sole access to the 700 megahertz, 3.5 gigahertz and 28 gigahertz frequencies.
Okay, thank you much so much for your thoughts, Janice. That was Janice Chong, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings. Now, it seems as if it's almost a cut-and-dried affair, but there could be other issues down the line, right? Obviously, there's this whole merger curse that has afflicted many consolidations
this
around the world.
This is discussion part two, by the way.
Yes,
right?
I know.
It's discussion one failed, so they revisited the deal again.
Yeah, and I think they're talking about 8 billion ringgit in terms of cost accretion, network cost savings, OPEX cost savings, marketing distribution cost savings. Clearly, right?
Yeah,
right?
But this is a smaller deal because in the past it was Telenor's regional plus Axiata. Well, this time it's just DG and Axiata.
And you're going to put people from Scandinavia and people from Malaysia in the same room and hope that they work together. There's also that cultural assimilation, which doesn't always happen. There is no magic potion from the word go. There's always some kind of like early teething pains.
Well, this morning, DG 4.39 up 7 cents. So the market seems to like it, at least from the DG perspective.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.